goal for today is to try to get a grasp, an insight into the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Roshin. I counted seven times within three block Gemara, from Mem Gimel to Mem Zayin in the Masechta Shabbos, seven times over, the Gemara uses the Lashon Rav Shimon Lesley Muktza. So review the Isle Muktza, Rav Shimon Lesley Muktza. We want to analyze what that's all about. So basically we're going to focus on two questions today. Question number one, what is the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon? And this has tremendous ramifications, not only in terms of the understanding of Muktzah, but also in terms of the practical applications of Muktzah. Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon? And secondly, what does the Gemara mean when it says that Rabbi Shimon lesley Muktzah? Could that really be? Lo mi boy, according to Rashi Shita that we discussed last time, that Muktzah is doraisa, at least according to Rabbah. But even according to Shari Rishonim that assume that Rabbah changed his mind, that Muktzah lav doraisa, but nevertheless, Muktzah is all over the place. And not only that, the Gemara is going to tell us that there are cases, and we're going to try to count them up, in which Rav Shimon does accept Muktzah. So what does the Gemara mean when it says Rav Shimon lesley Muktzah? What is his plugta with Rav Yehuda? So I'd like to begin with the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yutes Amud Beis, which you'll see towards the bottom of page 1. Do you mind if we close the door? So the Gemara establishes here on Daf Yutes that there are a number of cases in which Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon argue. And basically, to simplify the whole list of cases, we're going to isolate one case. And hopefully in doing so, we'll get a grasp on the, you know, from the prat to the klal. And that is the case of Tamra de Iska. Rashi says regarding Tamra de Iska, he's got, again, this I'm adding to Rashi, but he's got like crates of dates that are packaged up. Ha'omdim laholichon l'schora l'makom acher. His intention is to sell them on the market. So this is not for his own family consumption. Maybe he's a farmer, this is how he supports his family, but these tamarim were designated to be sold on the market. Lo and behold, he wants to eat them on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara quotes Rav and Shmuel, they argue about all these cases. We have all these cases on the list. We have Shemen Shel B'dadim and Machtzel Shel B'dadim. We have Karchi D'Zuzi. We've got Eiz L'Chelba, Rachel Gizasa, Targos L'Beitzasa, and Tamid D'Iske. So the Gemara says, Kamiflagi, the argument between Rav and Shmuel in all these cases, and there's a whole list, is B'plukta to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. And the argument is really the argument of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara goes on to say that if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rav Shita, then all these cases are Asur. And Shmuel accepts the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore all these cases are Mutter. So Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda, Dibra Maskel Pluta de Rabbi Yehuda, Dil Rabbi Yehuda de Islay Mukta. Okay, he quotes a Gemara at the end of Shabbos. Asur Elim Kane his Minam Miba Odyom. It seems to me that Rashi is letting the cat out of the bag here. What does Rabbi Yehuda require? in order to avoid mukta.
Hazmana.
And by sheer association, this word hazmana in Rashi reminds us of Rashi at the beginning of Beitza that we discussed last time, where Rashi says, in explaining Rabbis Drosha Vichinu Sashir Fiyu, that you need hazmana. Now, I don't know how far you have to go with this hazmana. Rashi, in the beginning of Beitza, seems to assume you need a verbal declaration, hazmana b'peh. Maybe that's halach and suda, I don't know. But we need hazmana. According to whom? Who waves the flag of hazmana? Rav Osi, can you help me out with this? Which sheet requires hazmana? So hazmana means that I have to designate it for Shabbos use. Those v'ichinu es asher yaviu means, in a certain sense, that according to at least Rav Yehuda, we have to see Rav Shimon, I have to do something to change the nature of my food through a process of hazmana, and that makes it fit for use on Shabbos. If I fail to do so, because what do I intend to do with these with these rechelim or izim or tamarim? I intend to, or tarigolis or gadol beitzim, you know, I intend to use them for marketing purposes, but not for my consumption. So I never made a hazmana. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the absence of hazmana, that's Rashi's lashon. Rashi says, asurim elim kenis mino mibod yom. So everything that we said last time about Rashi in Rava's frame of reference, v'yichinu es asher yaviu, and if a beitza shenol the miyantiv, which was not prepared in Bodion, there was no hazmana, is true, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda. So from Rabbi Yehuda's purpose, perspective, mukta is the opposite of hazmana. The absence of hazmana is mukta. The Torah created a din of v'yichinu es asher yaviu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I need hachana. If I don't have hachana, then it's mukta. Okay, you gentlemen are probably thinking, you know, you didn't discover America, right? You're probably laughing at me a little bit because I'm so excited about this. But to me, this sets, you know, this is the Aleph Beis. You know, you can't start mukta without this Rashi. The Rashi says you need hazmana. So it's the Rashi at the beginning in Beitza, and now it's the Rashi here on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis in Shabbos. But the only problem is Rashi says it according to who? Rabbi Yehuda. And I'm not sure that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But be that as it may, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. So if I tell you that Rabbi Shimon disagrees, then if you want to put a negative sign in front of Rabbi Yehuda's equation, that Rabbi Yehuda's equation is that unless something has hazmana, it becomes mukta, because Rabbi Yehuda requires hazmana, then what would seem to be the flip side? What does Rabbi Shimon say? You don't need hazmana. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with the Chinu Es Asher Yaviu? You know, is Rabbi Shimon just completely denying this whole concept of Hachana and Hazmana? It all goes down the tubes. There's nothing there whatsoever. So what I'd like to suggest, and I'm going to try to prove this in the Lashonis of the Shas, is that Rabbi Shimon operates with a different mechanism. His mechanism is Daite Iluye. He doesn't require hazmana, but he requires das. And he learns it from the same pasuk, but he's not willing to take v'yichinu es asher yaviu literally, that there's some sort of halacha that a man has to go around and make hazmana. You know, and engender a new status in the object that it's muchan and mezuman l'shabbos. That he doesn't require.
But what das is required?
So what does das mean? So I'll give you an example of what I think das means. Yeah, my Rebbe would be very upset at me for making these kinds of equations. You know, he didn't like these equations, you know, these analogies. But hopefully he'll be mindful of me. Hechshel lekabel tuma. Let's say, for example, water falls on my fruits. Are those fruits mukhshel lekabel tuma? So the Gemara says it depends on das. Not the das of kinyonim, mind you, or gerushin, or kedushin, where you need a das machne, a das kone, but das in the sense that I'm satisfied with the situation. Once I'm satisfied with the situation, it relates to me. It's miyuchas elai. In other words, the hechsher of the peros for kabbalas tuma, in this sense, the moisture that fell on the water that fell on the peros, somehow relates to me. It's within my realm. Why? Because I had das. I'll give you another example. Let's say, for example, I lose an object. So we have machlokas between Abaye and Rava about yeish shalom das. Correct? What is the halach of das? Das, in a sense, is a recognition that my object is lost. So once I have that das, then again, according to Rava, yeish shalom das habayeish. They don't even need das. But let's say we pass like a baye that you need das. What it means is that in order for the object to be lost to me, it's not enough that physically it's out there, it's out of my rishus, nobody picked it up yet, you know, yad shomer, yad balbais, whatever, the dinamar, all that is not, that's not sufficient. Abai requires das. That somehow I have to, in a sense, give a certification that this is lost. And it's an aveda. It's once it's an aveda, now, if there's no simon, and the Torah is going to say Harel Shalom and Yeush and Yeush this and so forth and so on. So there's halacha of das. Rabbi Shimon's halacha of a chinu es asher yaviu is not a hazmana, but a das. Das means that the object has to relate to me in terms of Shabbos. Not that I have to go ahead and designate it. I'm not changing or transforming the object. You know, it's not a chal shem hachana in the object. But what it is that the object has to relate to me as far as Shabbos is concerned. Here, Rav Shimon says the following. Is it roi or is it not roi? That's all you have to ask. You have tamar de iska, correct? Has money you didn't have. So Rav Yehuda says it's mutz. Comes up Rav Shimon and says, wait a minute. Somewhere in the back of my mind, maybe deep in the subconscious level, if you would ask me, what happens if I run out of dates for my Shabbos lunch? What will I do? So the answer is, I'll go into the crates and I'll take a few out. I'll replace them tomorrow, or I'll sell it at a cheaper price, whatever it is. It's roi. And if it's roi, says Rav Shimon, I can have das on it.
Shelas chacham ben nedarim.
Shelas chacham
ben nedarim. If you would have thought, had you
right, had like a toast, to create an Nidrei toast, or a Pesach, what we call a Pesach, would be, had you realized that how difficult it is to stop smoking, would you have taken a neder that you would stop smoking? You know? So what I'm suggesting is that Rav Shimon broadens the concept of what is considered useful or fit for use on Shabbos to include anything that could possibly be usable. So in other words, whereas Rav Yehuda requires an active das, which is called hazmana, it's almost like a maisa gavra, Rav Shimon says, no, everything. I have everything in mind. Why not? Why should you work against me? You know, ein chav and liyadam shalom b'fano. I have a general das for everything that could possibly be fit for use. Therefore, if you take the case of Tamei De'iska in Shabbos Daf Yutes, and for that matter, all the cases that we have, then we could say that Daito Shalom, according to Rav Shimon, is alakol. Everything's included in my das. But there has to be one condition. Das is only meaningful if it's fit, if it's suitable. I'll give you an example. Rav Osai, what happens if a person says that even though I lost an object at the bottom of the sea, right, what's that called, do you remember? If it's all the way at the bottom of the ocean, Zuto Shalyav, and he gets up and he says, you know what, my das is that I'm going to find this object. If I have to hire every pirate ship in the world or every last scuba diver, you know, in Alaska, I'm going to get someone to dig it up at the bottom of the ocean. Is Beladite Tzukola. In other words, as long as it makes sense to say that my das is on everything, because everything is possibly suitable for me, it's within the realm of accessibility, then Reb Shimon says, it relates to me. It has a flavor of Shabbos. But if something is Beladite Tzukola, no one would consider it accessible or suitable, then even Reb Shimon would agree that it's mukta.
Yeah, so what's the difference between das and hachana?
So the difference is going to be is that if there's a din of hazmana that's reviewed as halacha, then tamri the iske are lacking hazmana because you designated for sale, not for personal use.
But
if it's das, since it's roi, since it could be used, then a person has a right to say my das is on everything. But I'm just saying that if you get to the point where it's not fit for use, it's just out of accessibility, that would be, if I get in my mashal, it would be like Zuto Shalyav. And we would apply the principle of Batla Daita Tzokot. So let me give you the following example.
So you were saying that if he would have in mind that he wants to use these
tzimukim
or whatever, it's still
going to
be
mukta. Oh, that's exactly what I want to show you. That's going to come in a few minutes if you hang it. Because I found something unbelievable in a Shara Melech through HebrewBooks.org. But before we get to that, let's take the case of a Bukhar. Correct? So the Gemara has a Bukhar She'ein Mumo Nikar. That's Beitza. Just one second, I'm sorry. It should be here on in Shabbos Daf Mem Vav. That's the first source on your page. Do you have it? Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Me'erev Yontif Ein Zeh Min Amucha Shabbos Daf Mem Vav Amin Beis. So Abaye asks Akash, he says, wait a minute. We know that Rabbi Shimon less than Mukta. Why then is a Bechor on Yontif Mukta? And the Gemara answers, Hachi Hashta. Hasam Yoshev Umitzapa Emosai Tich Ben Nero. But Hacha Adam Yoshev Umitzapa Masai Yipo Bo Mum? And the Gemara goes on with a whole string of conditions that have to be met before you can eat this bechor, before you can shech the bechor and eat its meat. You have to find out this, and yeah, he has this, and it's got to be a kavua, not a mumover, and so forth and so on. So the Gemara, I think, is saying the following. You know what? It makes sense to say that you have das on everything if we can describe you as a yoshev u'mitzapa. If there's something that we can anticipate happening, it's reasonable to assume that it might happen and make it suitable to you, then you could say it's included in this general das that you have for everything. But if you have something that's not reasonable that it will be accessible to you, or in this case that it will be mutter for you to eat it, because it's dependent upon so many different conditions, all of which have to be met, A, B, and C, then the Gemara says that even if he were to declare, well, my das is on everything, it would be Batla Daitoi Tzokola. So the Yoshev Mitzapa Nisan here, as I'm going to try to prove from the Shar Melech, is objective. It's not, you know, well, I'm a Yoshev Mitzapa. You know, it's me Socha. Who gives you the right to be a Yoshev Mitzapa? There's no Yoshev Mitzapa.
Could it be Rabbi Yehuda will be Harmeko in that case?
No, Rabbi. Oh, you mean if there was hazmona?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. Hold on to that question. Let's take the case of a sukkah. A man wants to use the Atzei Sukkah for his fire on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says in Beitza Daf Lamed Amud Beis, which you'll see in the second source on your page, that there too it depends what kind of sukkah you're talking about. If it's a sukkah, bria, a healthy one, then in that case even Rav Shimon would agree, although less like mukta, that this case is mukta, and it's also. When does Rabbi Shimon allow you to use Atzei Sukkah? That's only in a Sukkah Re'uah. Says the Gemara, what's different about a Sukkah Re'uah? Adam Yoshiv Mitzapah. He's anticipating that the Sukkah will fall. If you have a healthy structure, unless a typhoon happens, it's not going to fall. So you can't say, well, I have Das that it's going to fall. But if, on the other hand, it's a sukkah ru'ua, you don't need a typhoon, you don't need a high-velocity speed wind to blow it down, but a normal wind could blow it down, then he's Yoshev Mitzah. Says Rav Yehud, says Rav Shimon, in such a case of a sukkah ru'ua, it's not mukta. Even if I didn't do a hazman, because Rav Shimon embraces the opinion of general das, all-inclusive das, as long as it's reasonable. As long as it's feasible. Here's another sugya. This is a sugya in Beitz Adaf Chav Dalet Amid Beis. This I don't think you have on your pages. This is called the sugya Peros Mechubarak. What happens? Ha'akum hevi doro l'Yisrael b'yodav. The guy brings you a basket of fruit on Yontif as a gift. So the Gemara says, in Beitza Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the Reb Shimon is moda that it's mukta. Why? Because the Gemara says we have every reason to assume that going into Yontif, these peiros were mechubarim, the guy decided to cut them down on Yontif, which is perfectly legitimate. He doesn't have an Issur Yontif. But the Jew, as far as these peiros are concerned, even though now they're tlushim, they're not mechubarim anymore, they're mukta. Why?
There's no road.
He doesn't anticipate there's no Yoshev Mitzapah.
He didn't have any das. I mean, he came in.
If the guy would whisper to the Jew and he said, tomorrow I'm going to come to you with a salsa of peiros, maybe that would be good.
No.
I think so. Because then he's the Yoshev Mitzapah. The guy is intending, and told him even going into Yontif, that he's going to cut down these fruits.
He needs mamash to know what it is. Again, he comes to him like he says, tomorrow I'm giving you a present.
He can't just say tomorrow I'm giving you a present. He has to say that, you know, tomorrow's harvest day here in John Paul Jones. I'm going to be bringing you some of my harvest. You know, you're my kohen, I'm going to be giving you maaser. You know, my. That would make it into a Yoshev Mitzapah. Then his das is not butter. But lacking that very unusual circumstance, if a guy decides to cut down his fruits and bring you a, you know, bring you a tasting, a sampling, that's not Yoshev Mitzapah.
1 second, so I know my local non-Jewish fruit seller. Every day he goes to the fields in the morning and comes every day. So everything else I can go buy fruit from him.
Yeah. According to Rav Shimon, I don't know if he passed like Rav Shimon. Again, that's another issue. But according to Rav Shimon, it would be mutter. Why? Because you're a Yoshev Mitzapah. It becomes like a sukkah ru'ua. Or we'll see, it becomes like the case of Shemin Shebiner, which according to Rav Shimon is mutter after Kibui Haner. Do you remember that? I mean, again, that's in Mem-Hei and all the sugyos that we have to do. What happens, on the other hand, if he fills up his nair with a kosva shishas, which has a tremendous volume of oil, and it should be lasting through the entire Shabbos, so a wind comes along and blows it out, a guy comes along and blows it out. So then, in that case, the Gemara says, Moder Reb Shimon. Why? Because again, it's not fit for use. It was designated as a candle to burn throughout Shabbos. So the oil will feed the psila with the psila throughout Shabbos. Then it's like a sukkah bria, or it's like a bechar. And if there's no Yoshev Mitzapah, then Reb Shimon would say that das is completely batal of mevuta. We can't accept that.
Candle,
I haven't proven it to you yet, Lisa, but that's going to come in the shower of milk.
But the candle, he knows when it's going to go.
Right, so the Gemara says.
But in the sukkah reuah.
Wait, hold on a second, man. There are two cases of the candle. You have to get this straight. Maybe I haven't, but I just want to review. One case is a candle that he puts in a limited amount of oil. Then he expects it to go out. Reb Shimon says, once it goes out, you know, before his Shabbos meal, he can take the oil and use it for a salad dressing. I don't know what. But then the Gemara has a case of kosvah shishas, where he fills up an entire bowl full of oil. You know, it's like these 72-hour yahrzeit candles, you know, whatever. Well, they last for the whole Shiva. So in that case, if it goes out in the middle of Shabbos, even Reb Shimon is moda that it's mutzah. Why? Because there's no yoshev mitzapah. It's not reasonable to assume that you might use it. So even though, that's my point, even though Reb Shimon does not require a positive hazmana, but Reb Shimon admits that it cannot be something which, in objective terms, is outside of your realm of accessibility. Once you know, or everybody knows, I don't care what you know so much, but Kol Adam knows that it's not going to be accessible to you, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, things change. So then you can't say yadas on it. What removes mukta koyter of Shimon is the fact that the food is accessible to me. In other words, as far as Shabbos is concerned, I have it within the realm of reasonable possibility that I might use it on Shabbos.
But is it going to itself the wrong lashon to use for that? Like lashon itself is mashma.
That he himself was Yoshev Mitzvah.
Much more than Rami. No, I'm saying the Lush of Yoshev Mitzvah is not, like, you think it's Mamish coming. Rami is the opposite right. of that.
So that's what I'm going to try to prove through the sugyas. You're right, maybe the language is a little difficult and you'll reinterpret it. I don't know, I'm here to, you know, I'm not trying to present you with a, you know, with some sort of kafalei harkigigis. I'm just saying.
That all
the sugyas of Reb Shimon, and we'll see it in Rashi over and over again, all seem to depend on chazi v'lo chazi. Let's go through them as we move ahead. Here's a sugya. So let's just go up. So we have the case of sukkah bria, right, where it's not reasonable that it's going to fall. We have the case of peiros mechubar and the aqua hevilo daron. Okay, so that's Beitz Alamin of Ibeiz and Beitz Chavdalin of Ibeiz. And then we have the case in Shabbos Mem Vavam and Aleph of Bechar that we started with, where it's not reasonable to assume that this Bechar will be declared a Balmum. So in all these cases, why does Reb Shimon agree that it's Muktzah? Not because of the lack of Hazmana, but rather these objects are characterized as not fit for use. That's what I call Lo Chazi. It could be chazi if you're yoshev mitzapa. Again, maybe the language is a little bit difficult, but yoshev mitzapa means that even though now it's totally lo chazi, as we enter into Shabbos, Reb Shimon still says it's considered chazi because I'm yoshev mitzapa. And when I say I'm yoshev mitzapa, again, it's not me, but anyone would be yoshev mitzapa. If there's no yoshev mitzapa, which means it's not reasonable to believe that it'll be accessible to me, that's called, I think, in the Lashon of the Rishonim, Hesei Chadas. Or, in the language of Rashi, Asuche Mesech Hadaite. And we're going to see this over and over again in Rashi's interpretation of Reb Shimon. What does Hesei Chadas mean? That I cannot claim Das. And the flip side of it is called Hesei Chadas, which disconnects me from the object. If this be the case, Rabosai, let's talk about Grogros Vitzimukim. Okay? So Grogros Vitzimukim, you'll find on the bottom, on the top of your page 2, that's a sugya in Shabbos Naf Mem Heyom and Alf. Omar Rabbi Yehuda B'Shmuel, Ein Muktzah L'Reb Shimon, El Grogros Vitzimukim Bilvad. What does Rashi say? Grogros Te'enim shemalo legag liyavshon. So he takes his figs and he places them up on the roof to dry them. Ukshenishtahu shama'at, and after even a small amount of time that passes by, ein ru'uyim ad lachila ad she yisyavshu. What two words here in Rashi, I think, would fit into our definition of Rav Shimon? Why is Rav Shimon Modin Grogos with Sivukum, says Rashi? Why?
Because it's not
wrong. Ain't wrong. Correct. Ain't wrong. So once again, in objective terms, it's not royal achila. And Nisan, in just a minute, I'm going to try to prove to you that since it's not royal achila in this case, then even if you would go ahead and be mazmin, it wouldn't help. It's butler daito it's a kolot. Then the Gemara asks on the next amud, which is Mem Hey Amud Beis, Patzile Tamra L'Rabbi Shimon Ma. Bo Minei Rabbi Shimon Berebi Mi Rebi. Patzile De Tamra L'Rabbi Shimon Ma. Says Rashi, what's Fatsile Tamra? Tmarim hanilkotim kodim bishulon. So they haven't ripened on the tree, and he already cut them down. Konsim osam besalim, sha'osim milulovim. Rashi has a whole physics over here that the if you make these baskets out of lulovim, and you place these unripened dates into these baskets, hey, mizbashlos me'alehim. Apparently, if they didn't succeed in maturing on the tree, you can somehow speed up the process by placing them in these special salim, these baskets. So Rashi says, "Mahu lechol mehen kodem bishulon." Mimodavuhu, meaning Reb Shimon, the muktzas hein kigrogos tzivukim olo. In other words, Rashi is saying that just like in the case of Grogos Tzimukim, as we said before, is Eino Re'uyim L'Achila, Rashi interprets, and therefore if it's Eino Roy L'Achila, even Reb Shimon would explain, would accept that it's not related to use on Shabbos, so to Patzil and Tavri, right now, they're not mature, even though you place them in a basket for the purpose of speeding up the process of maturation and making them ripe and edible, but right now they're not edible. And therefore they should be equivalent to what? To Grogos Tzimuk. The big question we have to ask here, but I don't think I'm ready for it yet, is what is Gemara's answer? The Gemara says, Amar Le, Ein Muktzas Reb Shimon, Ela Grogos Tzimuk Bilvad. Okay, so that I want to leave for a little bit later. I'm not yet prepared for this, but somehow the Gemara rejects the Havamina and the equation between Grogos Tzimukim and Patzili the Tamre. Those are not equal. But in the Havamina, at least Patzili the Tamre, like Grogos Tzimukim, or Eidam Re'uyim, and even Reb Shimon would agree them both. Now here's where I want to show you the Shar HaMelech. I mean, this is mamash a mitzvah for me, you know, that I was able to find this. If you want to just take one, I tried to blow it up as, you know, for my eyes at least. Yeah, I have this one. Again, it's a gigantic sugya which we haven't gotten to yet. But in this presentation, the Shar HaMelech, his name was Nunes, he was a Sfaradi, he presents his understanding of Grogos Tzimukim. And he says the following. You see where I underlined it?
Yeah.
The Amrina Beper Kira, the Mukta de Grogros Moda Reb Shimon. Hainu, please listen carefully. Hainu Dafka Bidelo Chazu Klav. Why do you think he adds this word Klav? Or just on a simple level, I'm not asking long to see, but what does it mean Klav? What's the flip side? You know, if he hadn't added the word Klav, what would you say about Grogros and Tzimukim? But most of you with me at all on this? I'm not asking a profound question. I'm saying the word klal means what?
Like, not at all.
At all. And the flip side could be,
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that maybe, you know, we hear all sorts of stories that people are desperate and sometimes they eat something even though it's mekulkal. Yeah, right, like it was Kelev. You know, all sorts of stories about comets, you know, Harry Potter, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, that he read a newspaper article that they were stranded on an island and they took the, you know, these various, I don't know what they are, sprays, you know, deodorants or whatever, and they were able to, by process of burning them over a fire, they were able to extract the alcohol, they drank the alcohol, I don't know, maybe they got drunk, I don't know, that's not part of the story. But, so Byron wanted to say that therefore we have to, you know, we have to consider this chometz al yedei tarofos. Does this ring a bell to you? It doesn't ring a bell. Rav Shimon Ida, Zichron Lebracha, made a whole to do about this. You know, I don't know if there's anyone here in this room who sells the honor in Sanhedrin Pesach. I hope not. But Rav Aaron would tell you that you have to. Well, I mean, it depends what kind of alcohol. There's ethyl alcohol and there's alcohol that's not produced from wheat. What's the word I'm looking for?
It is.
What's the word?
It is. I don't know.
No. What I mean to say, it's what's the word? It's chemically produced. There's a word for it. What's the word?
Synthetic.
Yeah, that's it. It's good. Synthetically produced alcohol. Different types of alcohol. So what does the Sharvel say over here?
But what's this word klal?
He's saying chazu klal means it's totally inedible.
But we know it's not true. We know
it's
that when he puts it on his roof, for the first, I don't know, whatever it is, 3 days, 4 days, it's totally edible. Then it becomes, you know, disgusting.
So I don't know, I never did this before, so I don't know. But he's saying that at some point in the process of making dried figs, the figs become unedible. Lo chazukla. And he's saying that that's the situation of Grogus Tzmukum entering into Shabbos or Yontif, in which Rav Shimon is moda to Rav Yehuda. He says, "Kidemashma mi lishna di Yushalmi shekosu atosos shon." Okay, let's take a look at Tosfos Daf Mem Hei, who quotes the Yushalmi. Yushalmi says the following. The Yushalmi, do you have it in the Tosfos on Mem Hei and Aleph? If you have it tomorrow Shabbos, it's Tosfos Di Masel El the Grogros Vitzimukim. Shemasrichin ben Tayin. Do you see that? He calls it Sirachon, right? It's absolutely spoiled in the meantime. In Kavan Shemiskalkalim called Kach, the kilkul is so severe, so profound, Ein Daitol Kachtom. And again, I don't think it's Ein Daitol Kachtom in a subjective sense. I think Al Pidin it's Ein Daitol Kachtom, because it's Lo Chazu. Or to use the terminology of the Sharmel, lo chazu klal, actually saknu heitev. And if you skip down, he says the following. I'm going back to the Sharmelach. If you have your finger where I left off in the Sharmelach in the underline, he says avol kida'achzu v'lo'achzu. Right, that's this middle state where it's not roy because it's not perfectly fit yet, but it is roy. I guess he means v'shas adchak, you can eat it. Is dafka libeder of Yehuda who di asur avol Reb Shimon Shari. And he repeats himself a little bit later on where I underlined it. Begrogos tzimukim da'achzu v'lo achzu Reb Shimon Shari. Kevon daha niha ru'uyim la'chilok tzas v'ika inshi di'achli. In other words, what he's saying is that we, in Reb Shimon's frame of reference, we have no right to say asuche asach hadaite simply based on the fact that most people would need it, because if some people would eat it, it's still considered chazi, it's still roi, and it's like Tamar Diska or all those other cases where, you know what, if I really need milk, I'm gonna use my goat and squeeze the milk out. If I really get hard pressed and I don't have any dates to feed my guests on Shabbos, I'll go into my underground cooled cellar, and I'll take out these from these crates of dates that are designated for the market. So therefore, says the Shar Melech, if it's a case of chazu v'lo chazu, if he says it's ru'uyim ve'enam ru'uyim, El ruim achila ktsas ve'ika inchi di achlilu. Then Rav Shimon says it's not mukt. He doesn't mean to say that Rav Shimon requires hazmana in that case, because again, the concept of hazmana belongs to, that's the bialis of Rav Yehuda. That Rav Shimon doesn't is not goris hazmana. But what he's saying is that it's included in this general das that everything could be used as long as it's kazi. The ika inshi the achli.
But Rabbi Yehuda is not going to agree to that. It's azmana. Some people eat.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm telling you. He didn't do azmana. If he did azmana, that's a whole different story. Because it was achsu velo achsu. But what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that if you did not do azmana, this fig, which is in the process of being mekulkal of sirachon, it's not yet there because still there are people who eat it. It's chazi velo chazi. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you have to do azmana. If you didn't do azmana, it's like tamar d'iska. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda kicks in, that you need a positive azmana to, in a sense, penetrate or infiltrate into the fiber of the food, that it's got to be mukhar mzuman, vechinu asa shayavir.
Because he always has to have a positive achana?
Rabbi Yehuda requires a positive achana.
Before Shabbos, I've got to go around, I've got to use my chair, I've got to use my table, I've got to use my knife. You have to go and actually make achana.
I don't know, I don't think so. But, I don't think so, but... So
what's that positive azmana that you're talking about then?
Some sort of hazmat in the sense that I assume I'm going to use it. That's called hazmat. Rav Shimon says, I don't have to assume I'm going to use it. The object has to be fit for use. And if it's fit for use, I might use it, and other people in the same situation might use it. It's not it's ridiculous.
What level of subconscious hachono is required? That's my focus. It's not an active achronos,
but it's a passive. No, I'm suggesting a little bit differently, because I'll tell you, what I'm trying to avoid is, I don't want to make the machlokas between, this is what the whole shiur is, you know, I'm giving you the psychology behind the shiur. I don't want to say that the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, and we're going to have so many cases that they argue, it revolves around what's the das of Ben Adam, you know, like, should we take as poll, and maybe it changes, and maybe it... Yeah. I don't want to reduce a machlokas tanon to that.
We have machlokas like that plenty of times. Okay.
I don't know. That I would argue with you on every single time you come. But, you know, that to say that they argue, you learned by Robert Moskowitz, didn't you? Yeah. No. Who learned by Robert Moskowitz? You did? He would he allow that? I'm just curious. No. Okay. So, you know, I'm not alone here. You know, I didn't learn by Robert Moskowitz. He's my age. But I can tell you that there are those who would try to take every single machlokas, you know, and certainly a machlokas tanoim, and define it as a machlokas about how the halacha operates. It's not just a machlokas about, you know, did he want it, could he want it, you know. So that's what I'm saying, that to avoid this approach, that's my shit salim, that they're not arguing about, you know, does he want it, doesn't he want it. Well, das b'nei odom, it's not a machlokas in das b'nei odom. You know, for that you ask a psychologist. You know, last night we had some psychologists here who gave us their insights, you know, so we could ask the Bible. But rather, the issue is whether or not the Torah is requiring a hasmona. Again, your point is well taken, Yoshua. I'm not trying to has shom bidochi b'kash, you know, this review to require that I actually have to go around and hit any mukhar and mezuma and, you know, das yens and everything. No. But Rav Yehuda is saying that the hazmana means that it's designated on my part. Why is it designated? Because I'm not using it for anything else. If I'm not using it for anything else, then that's what I'm using it for. But if you have a bechor, which is used for the mizbeach, it has kedushas bechor, so then it requires hazmana. Here we'll see that hazmana doesn't work. But I'm just saying, it comes along with Shimon and he says, wait a minute, what's your case? Is there a mum nikar? I just need, you know, just need to get the chacham to pask and it's about mum, or it's not nikar, and then there's a whole string of possibilities here. So what I'm suggesting is that Rabbi Shimon understands something called das. Das becomes objective. Why does das become objective? Because there's halacha butler daitei sokolot, which means that your das is dependent upon das b'nei odom. He doesn't have a concept of hazmana, and therefore Shimon is willing to say that if it's fit for use, then why can't we assume that a person wants to use anything that he has to use if he just needs it? So even though you can't say it, that's why I think Talmud Iska is the beautiful case. It was designated for what? For market purposes. It's not for your consumption. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon would say the following, that you may want to use it. It's yours, you're not stealing it from anyone. That das itself is a general das that the Torah recognizes. But when we get to the case of Grogus with Tzimukim, and if we accept this thesis, that Grogus and Tzimukim is lo chazu klal, then your das is not accepted. Then the object is not fit for use. You can't have das. You know, it's like the case of Zuto Shalyam. You know, that's the mashal that I want to give. Now I come to Nissen's point. Would Hazmana work according to Rashi? So here I want to call to your attention a Gemara in Beitza on Daf Chavav Amid Beitza. Please make a note of it, you'll see it inside. The Gemara says the following. Hoya ochel anovim vahosir. He was eating grapes and he had some extra grapes. Okay? Vehelon lagag. So he decided, you know what? There's extra grapes. Why not make them into raisins? Lassus mem tzimukin. He was eating te'enim vahosir. Vehelon lagag. Lassus mem grogros. Is the Gemara says, it's a brisa actually, lo yochal mehen ad shi yazman. He needs hazman. So the Gemara says the following. I would add the word mimonosh. Hechidon. Id chazu lamalei hazmana. You hear this? Id chazu lamalei hazmana. This is Reb Shimon. Meaning, if it's chazu, then you don't need hazmana. Reb Shimon doesn't require hazmana. Reb Yehuda requires hazmana. Reb Shimon doesn't. Now listen to the next line. Id lo chazu ki azmin lehu mai havi. There's no, I guess you'd call it the law of the excluded middle. Mimanavshah. If it's chazu, you don't need hazmana. So what's the Bryson talking about in his mimojo? If it's lo chazu, then hazmana doesn't work. Now listen carefully to Rashi. Rashi says, "Ida lo chazu ki azmin le mai havi." So Rashi holo chazi lachila v'lo mahanya lehu hazmana da havi le ki mazmin etzim va'avonim lachila she'ein birya ochlos. But boy, say, here's Rashi. Rashi still tells it for him. I've got a stone on my table. Can I do hazmana on the stone? In other words, what Rashi is telling us here is something absolutely brilliant. That basically all the objects in the universe fit into one of, we'll call it three categories. Either they're Ochlin, or they're Kalim, or they're Eitzim Vavonin. What's the difference between Eitzim Vavonin, bless you, and on the one hand, and Ochlin and Kalim on the other hand? Ochlin and Kalim, I can make a declaration that they're all in my das. I have das on all of them. I'm not going to be messy on das because you never know when I'll use them. Avonim, says Rashi, you can't make asmanim. You can't say I have das for the stone. Why? Ain birio kloso. I mean, you'd break your teeth and it probably wouldn't taste very good if you tried to eat dirt. So therefore, Eitzim Vavonim, says Rashi, is mukta, even according to Reb Shimon.
But
what I'm pointing out is that Rashi uses Eitzim Vavonim in Reb Shimon's frame of reference as the how should I say, the Malamed, you know, this is going to be the tool to teach us why Hazmana doesn't work according to Reb Shimon. In those cases that Reb Shimon agrees to Reb Yehuda. When Reb Shimon agrees to Reb Yehuda, that's a case called Lo Chazi, then Hazmana is meaningless. Why is Hazmana meaningless? Because it's like being Masmin Eitzim Avonim, She'ein Birio Chlosso. Which I interpret, again, in my small world, to mean Bala Daita Eitzim Kol Adam. You can't be mazmin something that's not roy. Now, who says that grogos and tzimukim are not roy? That I didn't see in Rashi. But Rashi does seem to say, if we go back to, again, Shabbos Memheim and Aleph, when the Gemara asks the question, is Patzila the Tamri Muktz according to Reb Shimon? And the Gemara says, no, because Ein Muktz or Reb Shimon El Grogus and Tzivukim. Rashi says, Ein Ru'uyim L'Achila Adshis Yavshu. Again, what the machlokas is between the Havamin and the Maskana, which is Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, and Rebbe, Rabbi Lezer, Rebbe, and Rebbe, in the Havamin, he thought that Patzili the Tamar is equal to Grogus and Tzivukim and the Maskana. It's not. That I don't have worked out yet. I'm going to need your help for that. But Rashi seems to indicate that Patzili the Tamar are unripened dates on the tree, cuts them down, puts them into the Salim, and right now they're not really edible. Maybe the Gemara's answer is no, Faket, they are edible. There's some guy out there in the world, if he's desperate, he's going to eat it. But Grogus and Tzimukim are not edible. Says the Sharmelch, Enom Ru'uyim L'Achila Klal. He's talking of Enom Ru'uyim L'Achila Klal. I take Grogus and Tzimukim and I plug it back into this Sugya of Lo Chazi. No, so why does the Gemara think that Hasmana does work here? Because the answer is, you know what? He's sitting around his table. He's got some extra dates. Oh, I shouldn't say dates, I figs in this case, right? Figs. Or extra grapes. And he takes them up to the roof. No, takes them up to the roof. So that's already a sugya here called Muktzel Chatzi Shabbos. I don't want to confuse you because it's a very confusing sugya. And then lo and behold, all of a sudden the sun, you know, comes out and it's beating down, and he's got dried figs and raisins. So he's allowed to use them for his su'ud under certain conditions or not. But if he puts up the raisins, the grapes, or the figs before Shabbos, before Yontif, we'll call 3 days before if that'll make you happy, but in such a way that it's really Einam Ru'uyim L'Achila, and the Shara Melech adds the word Klal, then it's, well, what's Hazmanah? Hazmanah is not Shaya. You can't tell me you have Das on such a thing. It's completely out of your realm of use. And it's like Eitz of Avon. So it comes out of both sides, and we understand, I think, Rav Shimon's Shita, until the kasha that I'm about to ask. But right now, if we would pause, I'm very happy with Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is saying, I have a relationship to all my options, as long as they fit into one of two categories. Either they're Ochlim, or they're Kalim. Which means, they're Ru'uyim. Ochlin obviously is Roy L'Achila and Kalim are Roy L'Shivush. But they're Ru'uyim. If they're Ru'uyim, I have a general das that's all inclusive. And you can't tell me not. Because anybody might decide that they need a Kli or they need an Ochel. It's Roy, it's Fit. I might need it. But if it's Ochlin, but if it's the third category, that means it's not fit for use. Again, unless you change it, you know, you can change a yew. That's already Ilkas Tuma Vitara. You know, I can take a stone and decide I want to use it to, you know, to keep my, for a doorstop. That's a different case. But I'm saying classical dirt or stones, your hasman is meaningless. What it means is you can't make the statement and be believed seriously that you have das to prepare this for Shabbat. So it's completely out of your league. Again, Rav Shimon doesn't require a hasmana, but he does require that it somehow be related to you for use on Shabbos. If it's low chazi, that's grogus v'tzibuk. But now I have a cash. Okay. The Gemara, on the same daf, Memhei, asks the following question. Chitim, boy minei reish lakish, Mirav Yochanan. It's earlier on the same daf. If you have the printout for me, it's on the bottom of page 1. Boyaminei Rish Lakish Mirav Yochanan. Chitim Shezoron Bekarka Ubeitzim Shetachas Hatarnagolis Mal. Okay, so let's talk for a minute about Chitim Shezoron Bekarka. Rashi says, I have printed for you on the top of page 2, Adayin lo hishrishu. Mahu lilkot vilech. So let's get the case. He's got kernels of wheat, and he puts them in the ground, and he's going to grow wheat from these kernels. But Rashi says, Adayin lo hishrish. And then lo and behold, he decides on Shabbos that he wants to take these chit. So the Mefarshim explained, because if it was after Hashrosh, you have a serious problem of what's called tolish, which is a told of kotzer. So that for sure is awesome. But if Adayin lo hishrishu, perhaps he's allowed to do it. And the issue hinges on mukt, coin tripshin. So the question I have for you is the following. Just the Metzias question. Are these chitim edible? If they're not edible, lo chazu, then it's krogus v'tzimukim. And even if he were to be masmin, then it wouldn't make any sense that he could remove mukts. Narvas, the only conclusion I could come to is that the chitim have not yet rotted. You know, he just put them in Erev Shabbos, and an hour later, or even 12 hours later, but it's not yet, you know, changed its state. It's still edible.
Oh, lochitim.
What do you say?
Lochitim.
Well, I don't know, raw, I don't know, I guess you could use it for something, raw chitin. I don't know. Well, what do we assume about raw chitin?
I think we assume that there's no use for itself.
Maybe if you put it in the ground, it softens, I don't know.
They chew something?
They chew it, maybe it's kosei sachito. I don't know all the details about chito. You know, you have to know the sugi of lechem, kolim, and caramel, you know, in Menachos. Good. So wait a minute. If these chitim are ru'uyim, so what's the half meter to say that Moder Reb Shimon bechitim shazar bekarka? So let's look at the Gemara's language.
Could we say in 71 you can't make an exception to the rule when something's not mukhan to say it is mukhan?
I don't know, but just let's read the Gemara's language. The Gemara says, Ki lesle, you have the Gemara? Mem hey and al. Ki lesle le Reb Shimon mukta. It's about midway, about one third down the page. Ki les leil Reb Shimon mukta hechi de lo dachye biyadayim. Hechi de dachye biyadayim isle mukta odil moloshna. Okay. Now, you know, we thought that the picture was pretty clear and we had all the pieces of the puzzle, but now the Gemara introduced a whole new variable. And that's called dachye biyadayim. And the Gemara answers, you see, on a lay, now I'm going to rewrite the Gemara for you, so to speak. On a lay, ein muktzel Rabbi Shimon el grogos v'tzimukim bilvad. Doesn't say that. So it's interesting. In the sugi on the bottom of Mem Hei and Aleph, going on to Mem Hei and Beis, the Gemara asks about Patzili the Tamri. The Gemara says, "Ein Muktzel, the Rav Shimon El Grogos with Tzimukim Bilvan." But here in the sugi of Chitim Shazar Bekarka, the Gemara doesn't say "Ein Muktzel Rav Shimon Ela Grogos with Tzimukim," but rather "Ein Muktzel Rav Shimon Ela Shemen Shebener B'Shoshu Dolik." Frektaisus, this is Tosfos Dimaskel Ela halfway through Tamalari. Why did the Gemara say that the case that Rav Shimon admits is mukta is shemen shebener? Again, shemen shebener means as long as it's lit. Tvei havi l'leminkat ein mukta Rav Shimon el grogos etzimukim. Well, let's be consistent about it. We always use grogos etzimukim as the paradigm of moder Rav Shimon. Why didn't the Gemara use it here instead? The Gemara drops the ball and substitutes ela. Shemen Shebener B'Shoshu Doleg. Guess what? I looked for the answer. Tosa, I didn't find it. Tosa doesn't give an answer.
Isn't it the same Lakuda though, according to what Bobby wants to say?
Maybe. What do you want to say? I mean, I'm about to say something similar, but I'm going to quote one of the Mishonim. Go ahead. Go ahead. Nissan, what do you say?
I said they're both not right at all. So what's the difference? What you're...
So that's what I'm trying to point out to you. That in the case of Chitim Shazar Makarka, I'm not sure what you mean they're both not Roy. What did you mean by not Roy?
So which two cases are we comparing?
Oh, so that's the important thing. The Gemara itself, that's Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish's question, in answer to Reish Lakish's question, is comparing Chitim Shazar Makarka to Shemen Shebener B'Shoshu Dolik. Tosis is asking, why did the Gemara make the analogy to Grover Sitzimukim? And say that Grover Sitzimukim in Bachitin Shazar Makakala, meaning Grover Sitzimukim is the case where Shimon is Moda and it's Muksa, but not Chitin Shazar Makak. That's Tosis' question. So Tosis gives the following. So Tosa Rush gives the following answer. I'm sorry, I don't have it for you. Do we have a Tosa Rush here in the base message? If we do, we'll look it up inside.
The big fact of Morris have got Tosa Rush at the back.
Okay, so I don't know, maybe it's in the back.
Check it out.
No, it's not now, because I just want to wrap up the shiur. And what I'm about to tell you is basically the Not of Yehudim is Tzlach. Tzlach, by the way, Tzlach and Pnei Yeshua, in my opinion, before you get to Shulchan Aruch. I'm not excluding the Magen Avraham or anything. But I'm saying, in the Mefarshei HaShas, in the Achronim, these are the two pillars.
For Shabbos or generally?
For Shabbos, for Masechta Shabbos. Pnei Yeshua and the Tzlach. So even if I don't quote it for you, if you get a chance, take a look. The chisaron in Pnei Yeshua is that he's very marach. And sometimes you freak out when you see like two pages of Pnei Yeshua. And the punchline sometimes is in one line, you know, like the char milk that I showed you before. But in any event, so they say the following. So again, this is in the Tosa Rush and the Tzlach.
So just quickly for you, what's more
the... Again, here's the Nekudah. Yeah. The Gemara equates... And then contrasts Chitin Shazar Bakarka with Shemen Shebiner Bishashu Dolik.
Okay.
The Gemara elsewhere, over and over again, when it wants to give you an example that maybe Rav Shimon is Moder, is it similar to Grogros Vitzimukim? Meaning, Grogros Vitzimukim, which we have defined as Lo Chazi, is your classical paradigm of where Rav Shimon is Moder. Even though, again, we had many, many cases where Rav Shimon is Moda. We had Bechar, and we had Peres Mechubarim, and we had Sukkah, Bria. But all those cases are basically following the same line of reasoning as Grogos and Tzimukim, meaning since it's not Roy, you know, we don't expect the building, the Sukkah, to fall down. We don't expect the Bechar to be a Balmum. We don't expect the Goy to cut down the fruits on Shabbos. All these cases really fit into one pattern. That it's not something that I can anticipate is within my realm of use. It's at my realm of use. So if that's what Grogos and Tzimukim serves as the paradigm from Shimon's Moda, that this is not the case where your das is meaningless, and we tied to that according to Rashi and Beitza based on the Shah Melch, we wouldn't even allow Hazmana to work over here. Because your Hazmana is butler daitetz on kol adam, it's not fit for use. So why did the Gemara all of a sudden introduce Ner Shemen Shemener B'Shashu Domek? So the Tosa Rosh and the Tzlach embellishes it, say the following. The Chitim Shezorim B'Karka is not similar to Grogos V'Tzimukim. What did the Gemara think? What did Reish Lakish present in his Amavina? Why should Chitin Shazar Bakak be Muktzah Kointer Shimon? Has nothing to do with Ein Roy. He says, Fakaret. It was too early in the development of, you know, since he put the Chitin in the Karka for the Kilkul process to begin. So we're not talking about Mikul Kolin. And the Yerushalmi that Tosfos quote says the Grogos V'Tzimukim is Sirachan and Kilkul. So therefore, there's no room to equate Chitin Shazar Bakarka with Grogos V'Tzimukim. Oh, what is the equation? To Ner, to Shemen B'Shosh HaNer Dolek. Says the Tzlach, in Shemen Dolek, according to Rav Shimon, the fact that he lit the candle on Erev Shabbos, that itself is a Dechiyah B'Yadayim. And the Gemara thinks that Chitin Shazar Bakarka, because his intention is for the chitin to be mishuroshim, that the hashroshim take place, and once it's hashrosha, it's completely out of his league on Shabbos, on Yom, because he can't rip it out of the ground, that would be tolish. Is the Gemara wants to know, that's Reish Lakish's question, to what extent is there a perfect analogy, or not a perfect analogy, between chitin shazar makarka, and what? And ner b'shashim dolik. Rabosai, the problem that I have is that this kind of torpedoes a lot of what we said in the shiur. You know, I'm honest about it. You know, Tori Balumon and Tzara. Because I've been operating in Rav Shimon's frame of reference with one and only one question. Muktzah or not muktzah depends upon whether you could have das, you don't have das, asuche daite, it's objective, you can't use it, it's not roy, it's lo chazi, why do we anticipate that it'll become roy? You know, you've got the mechu peres mechu barim, and you've got the bechar, which is kedushas bechar, you can't eat it, and you've got grobus tzimukim. All these cases are things that are ain't a roy.
But in the chiyot, maybe the chiyot then creates ain't a roy for yourself.
That, those are the two words Josh, I want to say. But I'm not happy with it. I'm telling you straight up front. What do I mean? Let me try to clarify. I think you're correct. But what do I mean I'm not happy with it? I'm not comfortable with it. It doesn't fit into my perspective. I like to come, you know, chotek. You know, there should be one principle and one. So what Josh is saying here is the following. That somehow the Gemara thinks that there's another mechanism which engenders muktzah even according to Rav Shimon, and that's called dechiyah biyadayim. So when I'm docha something biyadayim, it becomes ein aroi. So Josh adds two words for me. For me.
He's asking the same question.
Yeah, so give Shimmy a chance.
No, just like, the Havanah of the Gemara is that perhaps we're asking that there's a Dechir B'Yadayim
a new category that engenders Muktzah, right. and it's similar to, and maybe even equal to, Ne'er Shu'u Dolik.
And Kamash Manon.
Kamash Manon.
Only Ne'er Shu'u Dolik is what is the sufficient Dechir B'Yadayim.
Right, right. Like as if to say there are two dinim in Dechir B'Yadayim, you know, but we're no longer comparing Chazi and Lo Chazi. In the case of Patsili, the Tamri, which is unripened dates, then we're talking about Chazi or Lo Chazi. And again, we have to work out what was the Havmin, what was the Maskana. Is it similar to Grobus Tzimun, is it not? In the case of Chit and Shazar Makarka, according to Tosfos HaRosh and the Tzlach, the issue was, is this Dechir B'Yadayim? Are they analogous or not analogous? Are they equivalent in Hilchos Dechiyah B'Yadayim, meaning that Rav Shimon has another category that engenders Muktzah, and that's called Dechiyah B'Yadayim?
I'm saying, in the Maskana, we're still saying that there's such a thing called Dechiyah B'Yadayim, or we're not?
I think so.
Or because
but it's not the Dechiyah B'Yadayim of Ne'er Shu'u Dolik. So Josh was pointing out that maybe that look of Dechiyah B'Yadayim means that I'm declaring that it's not right for me. So it could be, Josh, that was the half meaning of Reish Lakish. But Lefiyah Neis Daiti, I think the breakthrough of Rabbi Yochanan is that it's not enough to say it's not roi for me. That I went ahead and I took these chidim and I put them in a certain place, that's not enough to engender muktzah according to Rav Shimon. Because I may change my mind. I still may want to have access to these chidim. And that's exactly the case that we're dealing with. Says Rabbi Yochanan, but Ne'er B'Shashu Dolik, that is literally ain't no roi. Why? Because when you light the candle, my friend, I have something to tell you, and you might not be happy about it. You have no way of getting access to that shemen. And here, I think, but I'm afraid to say this because I'm going to probably change my mind a million times over. And I warn you about that because I don't know, I don't have a grasp on this sugya yet. What the Gemara might be referring to is that the Chiyah B'Yadayim engenders what's called Muktzah Machmas Isur. I don't know. It's very scary to me. Because there's a Magen Avraham that wants to say that if I take a potish, I take a cornice or some sort of a sledgehammer, and I use it on Shabbos, let's say Shogeg, whatever it might be, that becomes Muktzah Machmas Isur. Because what I do is I designated it for Isur. Again, don't confuse this with Kli Shem L'Achta Lisa. It has nothing to do with Kli Shem L'Achta Lisa. He's talking about Muktzah. We're talking about something that's not, that's also, it's a gufo, it's a makoma, you can't move it at all. It might even be Doraisa if you don't like Rashi. But somehow, when there's a barrier between me and the object of Isur, then by setting up that barrier, Rav Shimon agrees, it becomes muktzah. I don't know why. It's some sort of ein ra'ah that's created through the Isur. The Isur itself makes an ein ra'ah. But the Gemara thinks that that doesn't apply. Rabbi Yochanan is mechadish, that doesn't apply to chitim shezar b'karka. And why not? Because, as Rashi points out, it's kodem hashrasha. If it's kodem hashrasha, then there's no isur that separates you from enjoying the benefits of these chitim if you so need them. And therefore, says Rashi, if it's not the dechia b'yadayim of ner shel dolek, which engenders once you light the candle, a designation of this shemen in such a way that the Isur now forms a barrier preventing you from enjoying the shemen, less than that will not be dechia b'yadayim. The hava din Reish Lakish is, like you said before, I made a statement that for me it's ein ra'ah. I put it in the ground for the purpose of Ashrasha. My intention is that there should be Ashrasha. That's exactly why I put it in the ground. If it's going to be Ashrasha, I have no access to it because of the Isur Ktsira. But that doesn't happen yet. A Dailo Hishrishu, says Rashi. And if it's a Dailo Hishrishu, then although there was a Dechiyah of Yadayim, and Erev Yomtiv, if you were to ask me, am I going to use these Tikkun on Yomtiv, I would tell you a flat no. That's not enough to engender muktzah. You might change your mind, so to speak. Meaning that objectively there are chitim here that are still ru'uyim la'achila. And if they're ru'uyim la'achila, then in Hilchas Das, in objective terms, there's no muktzah. But if I light a candle, and now I have no access, as long as that candle is lit, to the shemen shebener, then I have a new category of muktzah, which again has to be understood, and that's called muktzah machmasis. Questions, and then we'll.
Chitta is in the ground. There's no issue that you should dig out those soils and get to the chitta.
Oh, so then you should tell them first. I have a lot to deal with in this thing. First of all, if there's ground covering it, it might be meleches chofer, which is a told of what's it called, of charisha.
Yeah.
And if it's not submerged, you know, in the ground, such that you're creating a hole in the ground by removing it, there still should be muktzah in moving dirt, you know, in order to expose the kingdom. This is all the sugya.
Which makes it parallel back to the now, right, exactly. Back to the one.
So that will then we'll have to take up in a different. I don't have the Marmakomas people, but there's a great deal of literature about how we understand, you know, Kitan Shazar Makarka in such a way that not only is Nisra Hashrasha inapplicable, but even other Isur of like Harisha, creating a hole in the ground, or Muktzah because of the tilt of the offer on top of it.
Unless you can make chiluk, the Shem in the net that itself is Muktzah Machmasisa. Mashaking the chitz of the ground is all external things which are in its way, but itself doesn't necessarily.
Yeshua, I'm going to throw the ball back into your court here because I'm honestly extremely confused about this. I'll tell you the truth, the Rishonim seem to say, you won't believe it, that the Muktzah itself is the Shalheves. It's not the Shemen, it's not the Ner, it's the Shalheves. And I don't begin to understand what's going on over here. Because Shalheves is not Muktzah. I mean, Shalheves is, as I discussed with you once when we did the Sugya of Pesachim, it's a Dorosh Hem Bomam. So again, you're going to have to bear with me. You know, I've been learning this Sugya for a while with Valbatin, and now I'm learning it on a more intense level with you gentlemen, and you're going to have to bear with me. And Rabosai, I would love you to participate in this adventure. You know, that depends on your Ashkafa. You know, we've discussed many times how you want to, you know, dedicate your time and what your goals are. And we're not going to go into that because that seems to be a very volatile subject. And, well, let me just...